This is number one for the course entitled Management Science. Certainly we understand that our world is full of what has been identified as organizations. Whether you look at the corner drugstore, if you think about your neighborhood bank, if you think about a Teamsters union, consider a charity organization, all of these are identified as organizations. We also know that organizations can vary. They can vary in size. Certainly they can vary in structure. They can vary in resources. They vary in personnel. And quite frankly, they vary in purpose. But we also understand that when we consider organizations, that many of these have some commonality among them. Now, basically, an organization is a group of two or more persons that exist and operate to achieve clearly stated, commonly held objectives. The objectives of an organization have to do with perhaps providing goods or providing services. Now, to meet these objectives, it is necessary for the members of the organization to work together. In other words, they have to become a cohesive unit. Now, sometimes this doesn't happen, and that's when problems occur. It is quite possible that each member might do parts of the job that each considered important to meet the objectives of the organization, while in actuality, the members might be working in opposite directions. A manager is needed to ensure the success of an organization. A manager sometimes is an owner. A manager is sometimes an operator. A manager can be one who actually founded the organization. A manager could be someone who is hired or positioned or appointed to that particular place of responsibility. And it may even be, if you think about an owner, an operator, or a founder, that all three of those would be true of the manager. Manager, of course, can be someone hired by an organization to give it a direction, to make decisions, and to commit its resources. Now, by resources, when we think about an organization, we're considering the personnel of that organization, the capital involved in that organization, and certainly the equipment of that organization. And it is the manager's responsibility to make decisions and commit these resources for the purpose of achieving organizational objectives. The manager is often a connecting link, or as some would say, a catalyst. He's certainly a driving force for change. He is the person of coordination. He is also the person of control in the organization. Perhaps the question at this point could be posed, just what do managers do? Are all managerial jobs the same? And if there are differences, well, what are they? What demands are placed upon managers? Are there certain skills that managers need? Well, as we spend our time together in these discussions, management has been defined as the process of setting and achieving goals through the execution of five basic management functions that utilize human, financial, and material resources. Someone else said this, management is the process of achieving organizational goals through engaging in certain major functions, such as planning, organizing, leading, and controlling. A manager involved in management is a part of an organization. An organization is two or more persons engaged in a systematic effort to produce goods or services or to achieve some other agreed-upon goal. Someone else said that, thinking of management and the emphasis upon an effective manager, and they said that an effective manager or an effective leader is an active leader who creates a positive work environment in which the organization and its employees have the opportunity and the incentive to achieve high performance. There are a number of points to remember as we think of this definition of management. First, management and managers make conscious decisions to set and achieve goals. Decision making is a critical part of all management activities. Second, management is getting things done through people. Once management acquires the financial and material resources for the organization, it works through the organizational members to reach the stated objectives of the organization. Third, to achieve the goals that have been set, managers must execute certain basic functions. These management functions are the five broad activities that managers perform to achieve organizational goals. These have been identified as planning, organizing, staffing, directing, and controlling. Now, so far in our discussion, we have been using management in a rather broad sense to describe all managers. Well, the question is management the same throughout the organization? The answer here is really a two-sided coin, because we can answer that question both yes and no. Managers all perform the same management functions, but with different emphasis because of their positions in the organization. In most organizations, the management group consists of a management hierarchy, which is the pyramid arrangement of several layers of management. The specific titles that managers have depend on the organization in which they work and, of course, the actual jobs that they are called upon to perform. In government organizations, such titles as administrator, section chief, and director are quite common. In business, titles such as supervisor, manager, vice president, and foreperson are often used. Titles by themselves have little meaning outside of the environment in which they are granted. A district manager of one company could be the equivalent of a regional manager in a rival firm. For the purposes of our discussion in this course on management science, I think we can divide managers into three basic categories. There's first of all, top management. Secondly, middle management. And then first line management. Top management usually consists of the organization's most important manager, the chief executive officer, for example, or the president. And included in this would be his or her immediate subordinates. They're usually called vice presidents. Top management are managers who are responsible for the overall management of the organization, for establishing organizational or company-wide objectives or goals, and establishing operational policies, as well as directing the company in relationships with its external environment. Middle management are all managers below the rank of vice president, but above the supervisory level. These middle managers may be titled superintendents or plant managers or branch managers in their organizations. Regardless of the title, the major point is that their subordinates are other managers. Regardless of the title, they still carry managerial responsibility. First line management are those at the operating level and often considered the lowest level of management. Their subordinates are non-management workers. The group on which management depends, that is, these non-management workers, is the group upon which management depends for the execution of their plans. Now, as you consider what we have stated thus far in an introductory and cursory fashion, you recall that management has been defined as the process of setting and achieving goals through the execution of five basic management functions that utilize human, financial, and material resources. Now, these five functions are planning, organizing, staffing, directing, and controlling. Now, although we're going to discuss each of these separately, please remember that they are interdependent. In reality, the functions are inseparable. It's not a matter of saying, well, I'm going to plan in the morning, and I'll direct before lunch, and then I'll organize between 1 and 2:30 p.m., and then, of course, I'll control from 2:30 until the end of the day. A manager must coordinate all of these functions at the same time. Plans cannot be carried out without acquiring human resources and organizing work groups. Controls are required to access the plan's progress while directing subordinates on how to complete the plan. The management functions and the performance of the functions by managers are dynamic, complementary, and mutually supportive. Planning is the first function which all managers engage, because in reality it lays the groundwork for everything else a manager will do. Planning is the management function that establishes organizational goals or objectives and creates the means for accomplishing them. Really, it maps out the course of action that will commit individuals and departments and eventually the entire organization. Days and months and years are often involved in planning. Planning achieves these ends after setting in motion certain processes. Well, what are these processes? Let me mention just four of these processes that effective planning is going to initiate. Number one, there is the determination of what resources will be needed. Another word you could use for that is organizing. So that's a part of effective planning. Secondly, the identification of the number and types of personnel the organization will need. This is often identified as staffing. Thirdly, the development of the foundation for the organizational environment in which work is to be accomplished. That's often referred to as directing. And then, fourthly, the determination of a standard against which the progress toward the objectives can be measured so that corrections can be made if necessary, often identified as controlling. So planning sets these things in motion, the concept of organizing, the concept of staffing, the concept of directing, and the concept of controlling all find initiation in the management responsibility of planning. The length of time and the scope of planning will certainly vary to the level in the company. Top-level management planning may cover a period of 2 to 5 years, and it can be considered long-range planning. The plans at this level may cover expansion of the business or how it will be financed. At lower levels of management, the concern may be a plan for today's activities or planning tomorrow's work schedule. Planning, of course, is not a one-time practice. It is a continuous function that must be performed as long as the organization exists. Plans are not always achieved as originally intended. Managers, as planners, must stay flexible because unexpected events and circumstances can certainly change the original plans. We could probably pause at this point in our discussion. And you could take out a sheet of paper and you could probably give many examples of where this reality has been true in your own experience. So these plans, of course, are certainly things that can change, and there has to be flexibility within the planning process. Planning results in the creation of an organizational blueprint of what the organization is going to do and how it will get this accomplished. The blueprint is, in essence, a series of plans all focusing on the end results of the organization. Objectives, like destinations on a roadmap, are the results that plans are made to achieve. The objectives, which are sometimes referred to as goals or targets or purposes, the objectives give the enterprise a sense of purpose and provide standards that management can use to measure progress and decide on required changes. To meet objectives, managers often must develop another type of plan. This is referred to as a policy. A policy, which is a plan that describes how a question or subject should be addressed, helps guide management decisions because they state what is to be done explicitly, thus ensuring consistent treatment. Policies help managers make decisions, especially on recurring topics. And by recurring topic, we mean those things that managers are continually responsible for in dealing with. For example, promotions, customer complaints, customer credit, disposal of records, employee eligibility for profit sharing and stock option plans, the use of facilities by outside organizations, work schedules and break periods, the sale of surplus property, employee discounts on merchandise, vacation and sick leaves, all of these would be involved in the policy and procedures, probably the policy and procedures manual of the organization. Many times, the development of policies requires management to create a procedure. Procedure is a step-by-step chronological instruction for the carrying out of a given policy. In other words, a procedure describes how a policy is to be implemented. Here's an example of a policy and its accompanying procedure. The policy. The company will fill vacant jobs with present employees whenever possible. Now the procedure. Number one, the personnel manager will advertise the vacancy to existing employees by posting a notice and the job specifications on official bulletin boards in each department. Number two, qualified employees will complete Form 1132 listing their qualifications and forward this to the personnel manager. Number three, the personnel manager will interview qualified employees who express interest and send the most highly qualified candidates to the position supervisor for final interviews and selection. Number four, if no qualified employees wish to be considered for the vacancy, it will be filled by someone from outside of the company. And then we think about, as we continue to consider these various management functions, the thing that a manager is involved in, we certainly have looked at planning. And we understand that planning is the management function that involves two separate processes, really. It involves setting goals and deciding best how to achieve those goals. So a manager is certainly very much involved in this whole concept of planning. And then a manager is involved in organizing. Organizing is the management function concerned with assembling the resources necessary to achieve the organization's objectives and establishing activity-authority relationships within the organization. Planning has established the goals of the company and how they are to be achieved. Organizing develops the structure to reach these goals. The activities necessary to achieve the objectives are really grouped into working divisions, departments, or other identifiable units, primarily by clustering similar and related duties. The result, a network of interdependent units or departments known as organization structure, is again a part of the framework within which a manager is going to operate. Each unit and each person in the unit should have clearly defined authority or a clearly defined list of duties and one person to whom to report. This organizational structure of managerial relationship needs to be examined periodically and certainly adjusted as the objectives of the organizations change. One thing is certain. Changes that occur both within and outside of the organization will require new approaches, new plans, and new organizational units. So, a manager is involved in the management function of planning. A manager is involved in the organizational function of organizing. Organizing, of course, is the management function that focuses on allocating and arranging human and non-human resources so that plans can be carried out successfully. And then a manager is also going to be involved in staffing. Staffing is the management function that attempts to attract good people to an organization and to hold them in the organization. Staffing is concerned with locating prospective employees to fill the jobs created by the organizational process and progress. Staffing involves determining organization human relation needs, that is, how many people are needed, attracting potential employees through newspaper ads and other sources, and then reviewing the credentials of the candidates for the jobs to match the job demands with the applicant's abilities. After the employment decision has been made, in other words, the position has been offered and accepted, staffing involves orienting the new employee to the company environment, training the new person for his or her particular job, and keeping each employee qualified. Staffing also involves the development and implementation of a system for appraising performance and providing feedback for performance improvement, as well as determining the proper pay and the benefits of each job. Many aspects of the staffing function are the responsibility of the personnel department. That is, a staff department most likely to exist in organizations large enough to support such a specialized group. So when we think about management function, we have mentioned that the manager is involved in planning, the manager is involved in organizing, the manager is involved in staffing, and then the manager is involved in directing. Directing is aimed at getting the members of the organization to move in the direction that will achieve its objectives. Directing is the management function that builds a climate, provides leadership, and arranges the opportunity for motivation. Each manager must plan and oversee the work for each of his or her subordinates. Now, in performing the directing function, the manager is faced with the challenge of providing leadership to the work group, building a climate in which individuals are motivated to perform their jobs effectively and efficiently, and communicating both operating expectations for performance as well as providing feedback on results. These individual elements of directing place a premium on the manager's ability to work with people. Now, there are no hard and fast rules, but the manager needs to be sensitive to individuals involved. The manager needs to provide ongoing guidance. The manager needs to provide coaching. The manager needs to provide necessary information to his subordinates. Explain, explain, explain. Now, in practicing leadership, the manager is not simply barking orders. Rather, the manager is making conscious decisions on how best to achieve goals through people. The dilemma for a manager becomes this: how do I best provide guidance, involve people in decisions, and build a work team when all people are different? Certainly part of this problem can be solved by creating a work environment in which employees are motivated to work toward their goals and the goals of the organization. This requires a manager to appreciate the uniqueness of each person in a work group and to attempt to provide an environment in which the personal needs of each individual are fulfilled. To practice leadership and build a climate, a manager must have communication channels open and ongoing. A manager must communicate performance expectations. He must respond to employee concerns. He must provide feedback on individual performance. There must also be a genuine exchange between the manager and the employee of ideas, concerns, and actions. So when we think about management, the process of achieving organizational goals through engaging in major functions of managerial responsibility, we find that the manager is the individual who is going to be involved in planning. The manager is the individual who's going to be involved in organizing. The manager is going to be involved in staffing. The manager is going to be involved in directing. And then the manager is going to be involved in controlling. Controlling is the management function of establishing standards, measuring actual performance to see if the standards have been met, and taking corrective action if required. Someone said that controlling is the management function that is aimed at regulating organizational activities so that actual performance conforms to expected organizational standards and goals.